بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ونولاه أما بعد. Today we finished سورة البقرة. And سورة البقرة, of course, as we all know, it is the longest surah in the entire Quran. It is also the surah that has the most blessed verse of the whole Quran. As our Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Ayatul Kursi is the greatest verse of the Quran. أعظم آية في كتاب الله. It is also the surah that has the longest verse in the Quran, Ayatul Dain, or the verse of debt. It is also the surah that is the only surah that has every single arkan of Islam and Iman in detail. So you have the salah and how to pray, and zakah, how to do wudu, is in Surah Al-Baqarah as well, ishara as well. The zakah is there. You have the fasting. You have the details of hajj. All of this is in Surah Al-Baqarah. It is also the surah that has the most quantity of different stories of the previous prophets. You have the story of Adam in detail. You have the story of Ibrahim. You have the story of Ismail and Ishaq. You have the story of the Bani Israel. You have the stories of Musa. You have references to other prophets. So Surah Al-Baqarah is one of the most, if not the most comprehensive surah in the entire Quran. And its conclusion is befitting of the whole surah. So today's khatira is a brief summary of the conclusion of Surah Al-Baqarah, or what is known as Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, the ending or the conclusion of Surah Al-Baqarah. There are many, many ahadith narrated about the blessings of the concluding two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Of these blessings, it is narrated by Ibn Abbas that he said, when our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went up to Isra wal Mi'raj, he was gifted with three things. So in the night journey of Isra wal Mi'raj, three things were gifted to him. Number one, the five prayers were obligated. Number two, Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. The last verses of Surah Al-Baqarah were given to him in the night journey. And number three, he was told, he was given the good news that anyone of your ummah who dies upon Tawheed, worshipping Allah without committing shirk, will eventually be forgiven. So these three gifts were given to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and of those gifts is Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, and that's the ending of Surah Al-Baqarah. And from this, some ulama have derived, this is not a fact, it is a theory, an opinion. Some ulama have derived, as I said, please remember this is a theory, it's Allah knows best, that Surah Al-Baqarah's conclusion, Aman al-Rasul to the ending, those last two verses, occupies a special status that the rest of the Quran does not have in one respect. What is that respect? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly gave Surah Al-Baqarah to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the intermediary of Jibreel. This is a theory, this is an opinion. Because the rest of the Quran came through Jibreel. نَزَلَ بِهِ الرُّوحُ الْأَمِينُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ لِتَكُونَ مِنَ الْمُنذِرِينَ. But this hadith seems to suggest that Allah gifted the Prophet ﷺ Khawatim Baqarah directly. And therefore, the only possible exception, there's no other verse that is even possibly an exception, the only possible exception that Allah Azza wa Jal directly gave wahi of the verses of the Quran without the intermediary of Jibreel is Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. And this is proven in a number of other narrations as well, that our Prophet ﷺ said, I was gifted Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah from under the treasures of the throne of Ar-Rahman. So Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, Aman al-Rasul to the ending, it is coming from right under the throne of Ar-Rahman, the treasures that are there. So it is the highest place possible, because above the throne is nothing other than Allah. So the highest place possible that the Prophet ﷺ could have gone, that is where he said, I was gifted Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah from under the treasures of the throne of Ar-Rahman. So Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, it is originating from, obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being gifted to the Prophet ﷺ from under the treasures of the throne. And it is narrated in Sahih Muslim that once Jibreel was sitting with the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is an angel that has come to you. So a new angel came. This is an angel that has come to you. And Allah gave him special permission to come down. This is the first time he's coming down to this earth. And a door has been opened for him from the skies, from Samawat, that has never been opened just for him to come down. So this is a special angel coming that is coming with some special news. And the angel gifted, or he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you are getting something that no prophet before you has ever gotten. I am here to give you the good news that Allah has gifted you things that no previous prophet has ever gotten. And then he said, Surah Al-Fatiha wa Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Fatiha, no other prophet has gotten anything similar to that. And the end or the conclusion of Surah Al-Baqarah. So this is something that is unique. And it is so unique that a unique angel came from a unique door from heaven to come down to the Prophet ﷺ just to give him the good news. Ya Rasulullah, you have something no previous prophet has ever been given before, and of them is Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. And our Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qara'a Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah fi laylatin kafatahu." And this hadith is authentic in Bukhari and Muslim. Whoever recites the end of Surah Al-Baqarah on any given night, those two verses will be sufficient for him. Kafatahu. What does it mean that those two verses will be sufficient for him? Scholars have different interpretations, but of those interpretations that are given is that if he does not pray tahajjud, the reward of those two verses is so much, it is as if he doesn't have to pray tahajjud. Not that tahajjud is wajib, but the point being, these two verses get so much blessing that it is as if he doesn't have to pray tahajjud. He'll get the reward just by reciting those two verses. Another interpretation, and by the way, it is the sunnah of the Prophet, he would always recite before going to sleep the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah. Another interpretation that those two verses will be sufficient for him is the claim that there is no need for any protection. That the two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah will protect him from all evil and harm for the entire night. So this will be his protection for the entire night. And inshallah, both opinions have legitimacy and correctness to them. The point being, we should all make it a habit to recite Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah before going to sleep. And very briefly, what exactly is embodied in these verses? So the surah, as I said, is the most comprehensive in terms of both rulings, ahkam, and theology, and even stories, three aspects. Ahkam, right? And you have qasas as well, which is stories, and you have aqaid, or theology. No surah is more comprehensive, perhaps because no surah is more larger than Baqarah. So at the end, Allah says, out of all of these stories and rulings and theologies, aman ar-rasul. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has believed in all of this. So the whole message of Islam, who has perfected it the most? Aman al-Rasul. So the ending of Surah Baqarah begins by praising the Prophet ﷺ. Aman al-Rasul. The Rasul has believed in all of this. All that has preceded. And all that has preceded is what? Is the whole religion of Islam. Aman al-Rasulu bima unzil ilayhim rabbi wal mu'minun. And the believers as well believe like the Prophet believes. But there's a clear distinction. آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ رَبِّهِ Then وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ Big difference between al-mu'minun and al-rasul. But still, this verse praises the Sahaba as well. Because the believers, when this verse came down, who were they? They were the Sahaba. So the Muhajirun and Ansar, Allah is praising them. The mu'mins have also believed in all that has preceded. كُلٌّ All of them. The Prophet and the believers, the Sahaba. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ So here we mention four of the arkan. كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ How many left? Two left. Yesterday I said about Qadr, a lot of times Allah doesn't mention Qadr explicitly. Why? Because Qadr comes under belief in Allah. So belief in Allah is incorporated. It's incorporates Qadr. How about Day of Judgment? At the end of this verse, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ To you is the return. So the Day of Judgment is mentioned in this verse. Okay. So the first four are mentioned, then the end of the verse directly and explicitly mentions the Day of Judgment. So the five arkan are mentioned in this verse. To believe in the arkan of Iman. Then all of them believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the prophets, and we don't distinguish between any of the prophets. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. And of course, if you read Surah Al-Baqarah, how many prophets are mentioned? Ibrahim is mentioned, Ishaq is mentioned, Ya'qub is mentioned, the Asbat are mentioned, Musa is mentioned, Adam is mentioned. So many prophets mentioned. And Allah says, the Muslim believes in all the prophets of Allah. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله. And we are the only religion on earth that respects all of the prophets without exception. Every other religion picks and chooses. And this is one of the specialities of Islam that no other religion can claim. We are the only religion that believes in every man that Allah has ever sent as a prophet. And we respect all of them, and we do not speak ill of any of them. لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا. And they, meaning the prophet and the believers, they say, we hear and we follow and obey. سمعنا, what do we hear? The commandments of Allah. And as soon as we hear them, we implement them. وَأَطَعْنَا. And as we implement them, we recognize we're not going to be perfect. So, غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. If we mess up, if we're not perfect, if we make a mistake, غُفْرَانَكَ. We want your maghfirah, O our Lord. وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And to you we shall return. Now, there's an interesting story mentioned in Sahih Muslim as well about this, that the previous verse, right before this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in it that whatever you say and whatever you hide, in tubdu ma fi anfusikum aw tukhfuhu yuhasibukum bihi Allah. Allah will call you to account for it. There will be muhasaba, even of that which you hide, which means your thoughts, which means your desires that you don't act upon. So we learn in the Sahih books, the Sahaba came to the Prophet ﷺ and they sat down, and then one of them stood up on his knees in front of them. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Allah revealed to us Salah and we followed. And He revealed Zakah and we followed. And He revealed Jihad and we followed. And everything we followed. But Allah has just revealed a verse, we cannot follow it. Before he could say the verse, our Prophet ﷺ said, don't speak like this. This is not the way of iman that you say, I cannot do. Rather say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. He said this before the verse was revealed. Understand? He said this, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. Before the next verse came, he's telling the Sahaba, don't speak that I cannot do what Allah says. Rather say, we will try our best and may Allah forgive. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. So when he said this, they immediately said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. That this is what we say. Then he said, they said, but O Messenger of Allah, Allah says He's going to call us to account even for our thoughts. Because in تُبْدُ مَا فِيُسُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوا يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. By the way, technically speaking, muhasaba does not mean you're going to be punished for it. Muhasaba means Allah knows there's going to be accounting, but not necessarily reckoning. I.e., you hisab is it's recorded. Allah knows, and Allah does know. Hisab does not mean you're going to be punished for it. And this is our Sharia, that Allah knows our thoughts, but we're not going to be punished for them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla then revealed the praise of the believers. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا. This is the attitude. When you hear a new commandment, when you learn a new ruling, don't reject and say, I can't do this, it's too difficult. Rather say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. Then Allah said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. I will not put a burden on you more than you can bear. That's not who I am. My attributes of mercy and perfection do not allow me to put upon you more than you can bear. And this is a classical theological issue. It's called at-taklif bima la yutaq. Can somebody be burdened with more than they can bear? And the Sunni position, Ahlul Sunnah say, no, Allah cannot place a burden on somebody more than he can bear. This is unfair. It is not allowed in Allah's justice that He tells you to do something and He commands you to do something and you cannot do it. Which means every commandment of the Sharia is within the reason of the average human being. And if there are exceptions that a person cannot do it, then the wajibat don't become wajib. And the haram becomes halal for the one who is forced to do it. When Allah says, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعا, this clearly indicates when you cannot do something physically, then it is forgiven from you. So the one who cannot stand up to pray, he's too weak. The one who cannot physically do something that is wajib, or the one who's dying and the only alternative is haram. We all know that the Sharia then allows the concessions. And this is the phrase, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعا, لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. A person will only earn what he has done and will only be punished for what he has done. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. لَهَا means in your favor. In the favor of the soul will be what it has earned. And كَسَبَ implies a little bit of effort, which means it's more than just thought. كَسَبَ is more than just thought. So here Allah is saying, your thoughts are not going to be held accountable. You have to actually do something to earn the reward. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا. And against it, meaning you're going to be held accountable. مَكْتَسَبَتْ. What it has also struggled to do. Now notice here, كَسَبَ and اِكْتَسَبَ, there's a different, slight difference. Difference is a ta. كَسَبَ and اِكْتَسَبَ. There's an alif and a ta in the second. And there's a well-known saying in the Arabic language or the Arabic grammar that زِيَادَةُ الْمَبْنَى تَدُلُّ عَلَى زِيَادَةِ الْمَعْنَى. That when there are extra letters, this means there's going to be extra meaning. كَسَبَ and اِكْتَسَبَ is not exactly the same. What's the difference? اِكْتَسَبَ implies an extra struggle. You have to do it harder. And كَسَبَ is less struggle. So what Allah is saying, your good deeds can come to you much easier. And your bad deeds, you're going to have to struggle more to get bad deeds. How so? Many ways. I'll mention only two of them. Firstly, human beings are naturally inclined to do good. You like doing good. You feel good doing good. Which is why when you pull your window down and give $5 to the beggar, $10 to the poor person, how do you feel inside? You feel so good, you would easily pay $50 to feel that good inside of you. The feeling of good when you do good is worth more than the money you pay for doing the good, if you understand what I'm saying here. You feel so good when you do good because Allah created you and me to love to do good. That's the first kasab. The second kasab, we learn from the Sharia that when we do one good deed, how much does Allah reward us? Minimum of 10. Minimum. Maximum of 70 or 700, depending on what we do. So, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. Good deeds can come to you like water running. But an evil deed, we also learn, by the way, if somebody really wanted to do a good deed, but they couldn't do it, Allah's still going to reward them. But if somebody desired a bad, but he didn't do it, Allah's not going to punish. So that's اِكْتَسَبَ. To do evil, you have to go against your own soul. You have to do something you don't like to do. Even the non-Muslim who doesn't believe in a day of judgment feels guilty when they lie, they cheat, they steal. It's in their human nature. You feel guilty when you do something bad. You have to go against your humanity to kill, to murder, to rape. It goes against who you are. So that's اِكْتَسَبَ. You have to fight yourself to do evil. This is what Allah is saying. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. You will get all the good easily. But harm, evil, you have to struggle to get that evil. وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Then Allah says, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا. Oh, our Lord. Now here, the person, the tense changes. From speaking Allah, speaking in the third person, now He's telling us what to say in the first person. And there's hope. When Allah gives the dua to us in the first person, there's hope that Allah will give us that dua. So رَبَّنَا, oh, our Lord, لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا. بِمَا رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا. Oh, our Lord, do not carry on us something if we make a mistake. إِن نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. If we make a mistake or we forget, don't blame us. And Jibreel said to the Prophet ﷺ when this verse was revealed that Allah has said He will give you all that you ask for. This is yet another blessing. All that we ask for in this verse, Allah has given it to us. So, if we make a mistake or we forget, Allah is not going to hold us to account for that. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. Oh, our Lord, do not place an إِصْر. إِصْر is a heavy burden. And the previous Sharia's had a much more bigger burden. Their Sharia was much more difficult. If you look at, for example, even to this day, those who follow the previous Sharia, such as the Orthodox of the Jews, their Sharia is so difficult. If you read up what they have to do, it's so much more rules, so difficult. Their cooking, their cleaning, their everything is so much more. And that was the law that Allah gave them. And you compare our Sharia in every chapter, it's easy, easy, easy. And this is what Allah is saying. لَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا. Don't put those burdens on us as you put on those before us. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh, our Lord, do not place on us that which we cannot bear. The primary interpretation here, this is the punishment of the Akhirah. Don't allow us to taste that punishment because that is the real punishment we cannot bear. لَا تُحَمِّلْ عَلَيْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Don't put us in that which we cannot bear to do, then wa'fu anna waghfir lana warhamna. Wa'fu anna. Wa'fu anna here is for the wajibat we cannot do. If there's something we were supposed to do, we couldn't do it, oh Allah, afu. Just ignore that. Wipe it away. Wa'fu anna waghfir lana. If we commit a sin that we should not have done, then forgive that sin. So, wa'fu anna, for the wajibat we couldn't do. Waghfir lana, for the sins we shouldn't have done, but we ended up doing. Warhamna, and have mercy on us, because we need extra from Allah. We need Allah's rahmah. We don't want equal, that if we do one, give me one. That's not going to work. We want infinitely more. So, warhamna, embody us, envelope us in your rahmah. Wa'fu anna, waghfir lana, warhamna, anta maulana. And maula here means protector and caretaker. So we are reminding Allah, we're telling Allah, reminding ourselves, oh Allah, you are our maula, you are our wali. We have no wali other than you. And wali here means the one who takes care of, the one who protects. So the one who protects is supposed to overlook our faults. The one who protects is supposed to forgive us and give us mercy. وَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَرْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. Those that have opposed you and have rejected you and are fighting against us, oh Allah, we need your help to oppose them as well. So these two verses are Khawatim Surah Al-Baqarah, and Jibreel told our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your Lord has promised, قَدْ فَعَلْتُ, I have given everything that you ask. So let us memorize these two verses and let us recite them on a daily basis, and especially before going to sleep, so that we can, insha'Allah ta'ala, partake of the blessings and especially of the dua at the end of this verse. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.